This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Lord, we thank you because you will help us again. Today, you will grant us grace. You grant us help. You cause us to move forward. You give us eyes for to see in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your breath. Thank you for life. We exalt you in Jesus' name. Amen. I was just thinking that this is community service extra. Community service is family meeting where we talk to ourselves. Just so hard that one of the things that is wrong, you know, with if you ever seen that, and you say he's a Christian, check it. Discipleship is missing. Household and family life is missing. See those two things? There's a way it actually shows the kind of a believer you become. You know, extra because extraordinary because the Lord arranged it this way. You know, I pray that we will get everything that God wants us to get in the name of Jesus. We are still looking at our homes and our households. Last week we moved forward in terms of what a home is. You know, we know that a home is not a physical house, it is spiritual. We know it is an abode, it's also, you know, a building core for every one of us. Amen. I believe that all of us now, we are beginning to have another eyes for home. That anytime you go to a place where your soul abides, you are seeing it beyond the four walls of where it is. You are discerning, you know, what makes up that home. Now, I will start today by the dynamics of Love Seal homes and household, just to say that. Now, one dynamic we have, dynamics means that the kind of homes and households we can see in our local assembly, you know, as Love Seal, we have a home where the male and female, amen, couple living together. We will never have a male and a male couple. It will never happen in this church. When we are defining marriage, we always define it as a male and female. You know, so, you know, now, I mean, if you Google what marriage is, you'll be amazed at the definition of marriage on the internet. It's good we remind, because a generation will come that might not know. Don't be surprised that when they are talking about family life or marriage, it might be only in the mouth of men that have been raised. Internet and AI will not give them as that definition. So the first dynamics is a married male and female couple living together with their biological family. In this structure, the man and the wife, we have the man as the head of the home, we have his wife, and we have other members of the family. That's one dynamic, right? Or maybe sometimes they are living with their relative, you know, it's all biological family. So we are saying that these are the application of this, you know, Love Seal household and family. Another dynamics we have is, you know, a couple living, a male and a female, living with not just their biologically related people, but living with, say, brethren. They live with other people that are not related to them by blood. And that, my brothers and sisters, that is a mystery. That is a miracle. It's a miracle that you can house people. You know, there's a way the Lord must have worked on your heart, that you can house people other than people that don't share your biological blood. It's a miracle that you can discern that there's the blood of Jesus that flows in the reins of everyone in church, and you can actually open your home. It's a miracle, God's people. It's not common in the world. It's actually not common in the general church community. You know, people that have, you know, house helps, they have servants, you know, living with them. It is a miracle if you can live with them correctly. The world has painted a whole lot. I tell people that it is not strange, okay, that we have that order of having helps. It's not strange that you have house help, people that help you, that you pay in court. Oh, you know, it's not strange that you have people, you know, serve you and you pay. It's not strange. But what will be strange in the order of a believer that is going somewhere is when you cannot order your conversation aright with those kind of people. So the second dynamics, apart from the one with your biological family, is the one you have apart from your biological family, where we have people. But you see, it's a beauty that I believe that heaven beholds that conversation, and heaven is very, very happy with it. Then also we have people who are not married, but they are living together. Brethren living together. So we can have brethren living together without any biological family ties. Now, the one where the husband and wife live with other brethren, the leadership of that household is still sitting with the head of that household, the man, okay? Now, we've had instances where some matured, maybe age-wise, people living with married couple, and that's the sister who want to control the husband and wife, she's because she's older. Yes, you know, that's not a wise woman, because that's the, there's an order in that home. And that order, you keep it. It's not, that order is not based on age. Just like marriage, you know, if we are going to use that order, I mean, we have people who are older than their spouses. It doesn't make a wife now the head of the home. Are you understanding? So age, when it comes to leadership in households, is not about age. Then we, like I said about the brethren living together, the person that has a leadership is the older person. And older, when I say older, I'm not talking about age. You say spiritually mature. You know, we know that in Christ, there's neither male or female. Please, you, these are fundamental knowledge you must have. If you don't have it, you will not be open to be blessed. You can come to a church, and if your age, I'm just trying to, this is not, your age is something that in Christ you die to. You know, there's some other Christian expression that what is magnified is age. They don't do age, oh. Praise God. Please, it's important. Because some people, I think we say it sometimes during our workers' meeting, sometimes the person who is your, let's say your lead, is younger than you, but is there by allocation of grace. So it is expected that you submit, you know. So, and we must know that an unmarried person can still serve as a head of a home. You know that. John, the beloved. Jesus, John chapter 9, Jesus saw him. John was not married. You know, John was not married. You know, John was about, I think, 17 years when he was following Jesus. I think some people say he was younger. But he followed Jesus. And on the cross, see Jesus, how he loved. He was not going to go without handing his mother over. And he told, I say, behold your mother. Behold your son. He said, from that hour, that disciple took her into his own what? Home. So you see, John had a home. Though he was a younger man, he was unmarried. Are you understanding me? So when it comes to household, it doesn't sit with marriage. That's why I'm saying that my single sisters and brothers, please listen. Don't just think this is not about you, okay? We wrote here that age may or may not determine leadership in these settings. Okay? As believers, we are taught to discern and honor spiritual authority. We should be able to recognize and submit to the leadership established in each household and homes. Amen. So we are looking at the family life expression in homes and households. Our homes and households is where the covenant of marriage is. Covenant of brotherhood. It is where it is honored. We tell our singles that one thing Satan perfected was, for an instance, to take sex out of marriage and make sex a standalone bouquet. Sex was a addendum, what they call it, a la carte, that comes with being married. Are you getting me? So in the family life, where we have expression of the marriage covenant is in the home. You can't do marriage and you are not together. You know, there are all manners of arrangement. I have heard of arrangement of people who will be married and they'll be living still in their house. So I'm married to you, but I'm still keeping my house, and you're still keeping your house, and so you feel free. So some things are just confusing. Even to follow it mentally is a border. You know? All manners of arrangements, all manners of contracts. So people want to marry and still keep their former life. You want to marry. You don't want to, for this reason, shall a man leave. You don't want to leave. And do what? Leave his father and mother and cleave. And be joined and be one. Those compartments must be in marriage. So any arrangements that negate, you know, this one is here, it is not as the Lord determined it from the beginning. Then also is an expression where we have our brotherhood. Say brotherhood is honored. Then we keep commandment and the ordinance of life in our family life. And one thing that binds the brethren is the life of God. We should not be broken in dishonor, but be kept in reference. You see, if we want to see the life of God, is in those relationships. If you are wanting to see life, is in the relationships that you are giving, as in marriage, all this. And you know, unlike marriage, no, marriage is not given to all men, but family life in homes is given to all men. So you can't say, me, I'm not married, this does not come, but you have family life. It's given to all men. Marriage is not for everybody. You know that. And it's true that you know that before you came into the world, you came through the lions of a father and a mother. So at every point in life, we pass through family. It says solitary in what? Families. Please know it. God did not make you to be alone. Please, anybody will say, I just want to be alone. In Love Seal Church, is a strange language. You know, there's this thing we should, once you just hear it, just, we need to love up the person and make the person know that it is not good to be what? Alone. Because God didn't make the soul of man to be alone. Then another thing I want to say, see, those relationships are for salvation. Say for salvation. Family life is for salvation. Marriage is for salvation. You see why we must do marriage well? You know, in heaven, Matthew 22:30, he said in heaven, there's no marriage. But one thing you can be guaranteed in heaven is your brotherhood. You see that brotherhood Jesus gave you to you. He didn't give you here on earth, though. To continue, because it is for salvation. And we must learn to use relationships well. Relationships in home. Husband and wife, we must use ourselves very well. One woman of God said, I will use you. Maybe they say you are the bride of Jesus. All of us, male or female, we are the bride of Jesus. He said, when I use you very well, he was telling her husband, you will look like a second hand. We must use ourselves well. That's why we must use ourselves, enjoy, you know. Some people live in marriage, they don't enjoy their marriage. They don't enjoy their marriage. They don't enjoy, you must use it well because it's for salvation. Use it for patience. Use it for love. Use it. That's why, you know, in marriage, in church, we also teach our marital life, even our sexual life in marriage, we will enjoy sex here very well. Because in heaven, there's no sex. The desire itself is not there. Yes. So relationship is for us. Then living together, one thing I want to also add is that living together is also a key to being saved from the judgment to come. Because people, our households are for keeping. Do you know that there are some realities that when you hear, it seems strange to you because it looks like you are in a cocoon. That when people say some things, we wonder that, you know, it just looks like it's not real to you. Have you heard some stories that touch the heart about what husband and wives are doing to each other? Actually, there's a judgment that is coming on the world. And that's why we must raise homes and families that will be able to withstand all of these things. Praise God. We must come to a place where, you know, we are deliberate to propagate righteousness. When they are looking for our homes, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter the constituent of your home. They must see that in this home, there's righteousness there. This home is a safe house. Say safe house. The world is still going to look for many safe houses. They will look for, because when people are looking for, I'm telling you, it will come to a time where the definition of love will be according to the world standard. I'm telling you, many definitions that it looks like a default that, we should know that now. You will see that it's not like that. Definition of compassion. I'm sure you've heard of mercy, killing. You've heard of, you know, pods that are created for people who want to terminate their life. And, you know, nations are propagating it as a form of mercy. When a man can have suicidal rights. I'm just trying to say that the world is becoming very weird. And we need safe houses. Safe houses that are raised in righteous standards. We must also go to a point where we go beyond living and sleeping together. Waking up under this. You know, some people are just fellow bedmates. They say, strange fellows. You know, they're just sleeping. Please, our family house is not hostel. My home is not a hostel. You know how hostel is? Have you ever gone to boarding house? You know the way you deal with your hostel? You don't deal with hostel as if you are home.
You know, some schools want to claim that hostels can be made home in a lie. So we must create a, you know, households that is beyond sleeping together, you know, to a place where people can actually integrate together. Now, integrating into a home and household, the goal of every family is to grow into a posture of bond servant, one who serves faithfully and wholeheartedly. Our goal is to ensure that we come to a place where me and you, in our family life expression, we are bond servants. Say bond servants. It's an example of a true integration. You know that? Eliezer integrated into the household of Abraham to the extent that Abraham could recommend him as an heir. What an integration. It means that in Abraham's mind, when he looked at him, he could see that this one, oh, he carries, is my son. He carries my seed. Even when it was not biological, Eliezer grew to that point. Abraham considered him as a potential heir before the Lord. His loyalty and service was demonstrated. I mean, Abraham trusted Eliezer to say, you know, go and get a wife for my son. In my mind, I was like, in that scripture, he did not really give requirements. He only sent him to a house that go to this house. But he didn't say, make sure she's hospitable. Make sure she's hardworking. Did you read it in that scripture? You make sure she's this. But you see, Eliezer was so much trained in Abraham's household that he knew what Abraham wanted. Eliezer could decide. I mean, see his conversation at the well with Rebecca. He could sit in the place. Normally, it's not father and mother that go and talk to family of who you want to marry. Eliezer sat there and had that conversation. Even when they wanted to delay them, he said, no, don't delay us. That is the goal. If you are looking at a family, if you are living in a family, that is the goal. Whether you are biologically related to that family or you are not biologically related, the goal is that you are a bond servant. There should not be, you know, divisions. You know, divisions in our hearts. I'm telling you, when we started this lesson, our desire is that, firstly, the Lord will find home in us. And secondly, the Lord will find home in our expression of family life. God wants to dwell in our home. God will not dwell where there's division. But there was a way Eliezer, you know, conducted himself so much that he was. Another person, you know, is Moses in Pharaoh's household. Do you know Moses was a potential Pharaoh to be? Do you know that? You know that Moses one was amazing because Pharaoh's heir are not necessarily his biological children. Because the person that found Moses was actually Pharaoh's daughter. And she found Moses, raised him in Moses' household, you know, and he was a potential heir. I mean, history has it that Moses was mighty in words and deed. Moses won battles, you know. He was a Pharaoh in grooming. I'm telling you, do you know why Pharaoh was so crazy? Do you know why he was mad with Moses? You could see that there was a personal vendetta. It was not only about God. It was I raised you in my house. Right, I took you from the water, raised you. What audacity that you will come to me about another God. Because Pharaoh ruled and reigned as a God. So you could see that if God did not snatch Moses away, Moses was integrated into Pharaoh's household. Apart from that, we must also integrate like Adam and Eve. They knew themselves. Amen. Every member of us should truly know one another in their new communion and understanding. The Bible says, and Adam knew his wife. They say knowing. You see, that new knowing is deep. Say it's deep. That knowing is not what is your name. You know, in church, one of the burden of leadership of a church is in allowing people to integrate one to another. You know, we can come to church and our relationship is very superficial. We are still not relating as a household. It's true. The trust of every local assembly is the ability to relate and integrate into one another. And let me tell you, that decision and responsibility does not sit with leadership. It sits with me and you. It sits with every one of us. You know, knowing that what God wants to achieve within us is to know one another, ability to know one another. Integration. So integration means align one's soul to be knitted together with others in the home. This requires intentional effort in building relationships, fostering care, and cultivating unity. So when it comes to the issue of knowing, Knowing is not automated. You know, we tell our incoming bride during counseling that you married your wife doesn't mean you know her. I'm telling you, you can be married for 10 years, 15 years. You've not known one another. And knowing is not only sex, biologic. I'm telling you, if it's sex, then, I mean, are you people sleeping with people, you know, prostitutes, you have known them. No, it's beyond that. There's a process of integration. There's a process of being intentional. Say intentional. Showing love and care. Showing affection. You know, giving yourself. There's a process that involves. One other thing we must also know is that the home and household are ordained by God. So every home and every member has a role and responsibility to fulfill. Each person must contribute their parts to ensure that there's nourishment in the house. Where a member consistently fails to supply their parts, a gap is created, and in God's order, such gaps may eventually be fulfilled so that the household does not lack. Everybody must supply. I want us to read this scripture. Ephesians 4. Can we read it together? It says, speaking the truth in love, we grow into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together, and each part working properly, building itself up in unselfish love. See, properly working. So you can walk and you're not working properly. You can walk and you're not joined together. Now, the God expects every one of us, no matter what you think you are, there's a supply you owe your household. You know, some of us, we think we don't matter. It's not true. It's not true. You matter in every home. Even our kekeres, our children, they matter. How you know children matter? Let them go on holiday. And they know that the house is so quiet. Suddenly, you that used to complain that they scatter things, you are wondering that, where are the children? Come back. When are you coming back? But yeah, you understand? Everybody matter. And you see, if you matter and you deliberately not supply, you are robbing all of us. You are cheating us. You know the way Thessalonians said, would you offer due benevolence when he was talking to husband and wife? The same way, you should offer due benevolence to one another. When it comes to the house of God, you don't shackle. You don't shackle in supply. You don't hide your supply. When you don't do it, Acts chapter 1, very clear. Another we take is bishopric. Because the house will not lack. I said that Acts chapter 1, you know, it was quoted from Psalm 109 verse 8. If you read Acts chapter 1 verse 10, it says, for it is written in the book of Psalm, let his habitation be what? Desolate. And let no man what? Dwell therein. And his bishopric, let another what? Excuse me, you can't be in the house of God and you are hoarding your supply. What supply? You said it starts to be this, because that supply they gave you. You know, some of us, some graces we think you enjoy, you actually got it because of the house. Some giftings you think you have is because of where you are. And my sisters and brothers, know this. Let me ask us a question. Ask anybody who is in ministry. They will come to church, they will operate grace. Oh yeah, let them go and operate it in their house. They can't, because that you just know that supply is for the church. It's for the church. Most of our ministers, I'm telling you, when you see them, they regegege at their home, they are ordinary men, because they are men of God. They are first men. They are men. So that's why, you know, in family life, we don't deal with you as man of God. You know, some people have issues with it. In church, it's man of God. At home, you are a man. You are a brethren. And we must be normal. Say normal. Please, in homes, you don't go home and you're you know, when we in church, you always give tongue, reggae. You don't go to the homes and start reggae. When their house chores to be done. It doesn't work like, the authority in the home, it oversees that you're reggae. I'm telling you, if you are praying like this, and kaboshing, and the house chores is that time, the mother of the house, your brethren have a right to say, bang. Sis, they will tell you, they will not wait. Sis, Ejo, come out. There's place to be washed. Because in that home, there's an authority that is operational. Many people have issues with it. You can be singing song and all of us are slain in the spirit. You know, Lot did not fully integrate into Abraham's household. Say Lot. May we not be Lot. Lot had lost a lot. I want to say that Lot had lost. Can I ask, where did Lot have his own? May we not be Lot, though? Because you see, Lot was supposed to take the role of Eliezer in the house of Abraham. The destiny of Lot was Eliezer. Amen. The lack of unity. He had, you know what killed Lot? He had his own. Say his own life. Imagine you are living in a household and you are plotting your own. Are you seeing yourself? Your own. He was acquiring headsmen. I laughed when I was reading that Genesis. You know, after they left, it was Abraham that took Lot. Some pastors have even thought that he should not have taken Lot. Because you know the meaning of Lot? Veil, clothing. And immediately Lot left Abraham. The Lord said, look up. He said, look up. Immediately he left Abraham. You know, but it, you know, the end, that Genesis 17, where he said, you know, go out, you know, to a land I will show you. That same place, they went to Egypt. It was in Egypt that they acquired herdsmen, cattle, and herdsmen. So in my mind, I'm like, Lot was doing kolobi, kolobi. As Abraham was acquiring, he too was acquiring his own. You know, so much that when we came to, is it the next chapter? They now said, Abraham was rich in cattle and silver and gold. What was Lot rich in? Cattle, head, and tents, manti. And that did not even give him enough judgment to know that you don't even have things. When they now said Lot, oh yeah, look and take something. You see, you must understand your place in the house. Lot is not head. Therefore, his judgment cannot be high. Because when he looked up, what he saw was plain. You don't understand. He looked up with all of his height. What he could see was the plain of Sodom and Gomorrah. So, you know, some of us, we allocate some authority to yourself in a home. What he saw was plain. With all of the possession, you know, sometimes some possessions can deceive you, can make you feel that I have arrived. That was what happened to Lot. You see, Lot can be the story of any young man or any young woman. That who doesn't understand authority, who doesn't understand placements. Because I knew what gave him that audacity. You know, only God knows what he has been telling his headsmen. Did he tell them that I am nobody? That this man was the one that took me? Or maybe he made them know that me too, I have something. You see, the issue of followership, say follow. Followership is a big deal. Some of us don't know how to follow the leader.
Stay among. Stay there. Don't separate your own. Don't take out your own. Don't nurse your own. Pilofania tele be found among my own. Among that which I am doing. Among my own people. Among my own tribe. Among my own. Not your own. Don't look to your own thing. Don't look to your own thing. Sibala te finasisia palapapa. Ebenapute fena papa. Put you for papa. Put you under your papa. Put you under your father. Put you under. I was the one that put you under. I am the one that sets under. I am the one that puts men among. I am the one that ordains that amongness. Don't set aside. Don't take aside. Don't separate. Don't separate even from my bounding. even from my calling, even from that which I've ordained, even in the home. Eliminate Catalia Potenian laws that commend blessing. There are laws that commend blessing. There are laws that commend blessing. Stay among. Blend among. Find your place among. Don't go out. Don't separate. Don't do your own thing. See the Spirit of God.
Amen. I believe that word is for someone. Be very, very careful of whatever takes you away. Whatever makes you feel that you have arrived in your own eyes. You know, another person that didn't integrate well was Judas Iscariot. We see that the 12 was given to Jesus as disciples. Actually, the person that betrayed Jesus may have been Peter or John. It could have been anybody. It was not written anywhere that it would be Judas Iscariot. I'm just trying to say that, you see, the issue of integration, after a while in a household, it shows. Have you not heard of household of some children that will just leave the house and say, I'm tired of this house. I'm packing my load, you know, away. And then you carry your garawa. You know, may we not be like that. May we learn the art of integrating in homes so that we'll not be taken away from our lots. In the name of Jesus. May we not become big in our eyes. You know, come to a place where you just feel that, you know, I know it all. That thing, my teenagers, it happens to many of you. When they become teenager and younger, they suddenly just like they know everything. You say this, they are giving you this. You give this, they are already giving you this. You know, nobody is wanting to take your ability to think. But you see, what I know, if I'm lying down, I can tell you. But if you climb a helicopter, you will not see it. What's your parents, elders, authority, the direction they can give you? If you climb, it's not even ladder, get an helicopter. You can never come to that judgment. That was what happened to Lot. All he could see was the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet another lifted up his eyes. And what did he see? The Lord said, all that you see. He said, all this I will give you and your seed. That should have also been part of Lot. May God help us. Now, you say, why we are hospitable people? You know, like we said, that there's a dynamics where husband and wife has brethren that are not related to them, that by blood. Why we are hospitable people? We must exercise wisdom and discernment when we're coming brethren and others living into our homes and households. Okay? So we are teaching, don't suddenly you just had a hug. Me too, I want to have a dynamic home of, and you just grab anybody. So that we do not unknowingly give room to false brethren. In local assembly, they are false brethren. Bible notes them down. They are false brethren. They know the diction. They've been in so many churches so well, they know how to greet you. My brother, how are you doing? My sister, you know, they know how to greet, they know everything, but they are just not brethren. They have not submitted to the life of Christ. It's not everybody you can bring into your home. Except for direct family members, no church member should independently approach leaders of homes or households to request to join or begin living with them. Okay? In a home or household, if a home or household leader is approached directly, please ensure that church leadership is consulted. And you go through the normal process. Please, let's be very careful. I want us to read this. In Galatians 2:4. You see, these guidelines are very important to maintain order and accountability and spiritual safety within our community. You see, my concern was because of the false brothers. Those people masquerading as Christians who had been secretly smuggled into the community of believers. They are slipped in to spy on the freedom which we have in Christ Jesus. In order to bring us back into bondage under the law of Moses. You know, when you hear some brotherhood stories, you won't want to do brotherhood. And that's not Christ's order. So it's Satan that smuggles them in. Praise God. Now, the law still homes and household culture. Now, our homes and households are founded on essential beliefs. We can call them our creed. We have culture, which is the core that we use to identify, you know, and the character that we model after the culture of Jesus, the pattern son. Please, it's important we know that there's a modeling that we have. Let's read 1 John 3:4. They say in him was life. I'm just trying to say that there's a modeling and pattern we have, and it's in Jesus.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything what made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the what? The light of men. So our pattern is our Lord Jesus. Now, one of the things this creed they do is to ensure that we live. Say live. We live in a world that has its influences. But there's what Jesus was speaking. Proverbs 14:12. He said, there's a way that seemeth right to every man. But the end is what? If we do not have visibility of the life of Jesus, we will roam our home the way it seems right to us. And we will not end in the way we ought to end, as Jesus desired it. So Jesus is the way. John 14:16. Say, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the what? Excuse me. The pattern of our homes is Jesus. You see, when we are not intentional about the foundation and the principles that guide our home, we risk being entangled in the values of the world. Colossians 2:6-8. The world has ideology of who a wife is. The world has philosophy of who a husband is, of how to live with household. You know, the house helps. What she did does to her house help. I said, it's just good for you not to have a house help. Because how will you have a house help that can potentially make you end in hell? You don't know the way you relate. It's true. I said this thing. You will do it and you'll find yourself in hell. So there's a way that the world teaches you. This one, don't do this. This one, don't do this. You know, there's a way. Some of our mothers have taught us. We are obirin, okunrin. We say okunrin, men, women. You know, the world will just be shouting, kilo de. And they'll show you don't trust any man. Okay, you know, manners. It's true. Because those are philosophy. He said, beware, lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy and what? Vain deceit. After the tradition of men, let's read this in English that we can relate with. He said, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in union with him, reflecting his character in the things that you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin. Having been deeply rooted in him, and now being continually built in him, and becoming increasingly more established in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing in it with gratitude. See to it, can we read it together? That no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. See, pseudo intellectual babble. According to the tradition and musings of men, following the elementary principles of this world, rather than following the truth, the teachings of Christ. The world has teachings, oh. The world has things it's propagating. I'm telling you, many of them are on everywhere. YouTube, Instagram. You know, some people just say some things. You say, So we need to be careful. If you will not follow the pattern of Jesus, you'll find yourself using this principle. Amen. Now, the first law we always talk about in our home is the law of liberty. Can we say law of liberty? The law of liberty. You know, you can have a home and you establish it in rules and regulation. You know, say in this house, these are our rules and code of conduct. We don't do this. We don't do that. That is not the foundation. Do we have code of conduct in homes? Yes. But that is not the law. Say law. That's not the law. Many homes have emphasized laws. They have emphasized code and rules. They didn't emphasize the law. Because you can have code of conduct and it's the law of sin and death that is pushing it. You know, one thing in the law of sin and death is fear. So adherence to all these laws, code and conduct, does not deal with sin and death from your home. You know, we said our homes are salvation points. You know, a spirit-filled home is a home that angels can come. Say, angels can come. See, you can have rules and regulation and you drive away angels. Your rules, because you are breaking every law of charity. Every law of love. Because you are saying, if you do this, you will do this. If you do the kill all day, angels will be at attention. They'll be there. They can't do anything. They're afraid. Because they know order. So they don't want to hear. So you have angels in homes and they cannot do nothing. They can't minister. Because your rules are bound to the angel self. So not only the human soul, even angel self is like, my Lord, sir. May we not have homes like that. When we talk about the true liberty in homes, you can only experience it through the law of Christ. Say law of Christ. And Romans 8:1-3. Law of liberty is the law of Christ. You know, a life of liberty is not lawless. It is actually ordered and governed by the Christ laws. When we talk about the law of liberty, it doesn't mean it doesn't have law. It just looks like the law that is operating by is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1-2. He said, therefore, there's now no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is where? In Christ Jesus. This is the law of our what? Our new being. So the law that governs our home is a law of our new being. He said, I set you free from the law of what? Sin and death. Okay? For what the law could not do, that is overcome sin and remove its penalty, his power being weakened by the flesh, man's nature without the Holy Spirit, God did. He sent his own son in the likeness of sinful man as a sin offering, and he has condemned sin in the flesh, subdued it and overcame it in the person of his own son. So the law that must be operating in our life, in our homes, is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's the law of our new what? Our new life in Christ. Say the law of our new life in Christ. Now the things that are in that law is faith. Is hope, is charity. That this law, we fully realize this, you know, when faith, love, submission in the spirit becomes the household guiding principle. This is our faith creed. It is a law of righteousness that shows us what? Standard. Say standard.
Standards.
We see standards. For instance, one standard we see in that law is submitting to one another. Ephesians 5:18. Submitting to one another. You understand? It's a law we see. We see one law. Law of wife, submit to your husband. Law of a husband loving his wife. Those are the laws that are in Christ. Now, one of the first expressions in the law of liberty is faith. One thing our home must be able to do is to teach faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. The faith culture, every home, everybody must be able to look to God. At least faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith in the name of Jesus. Every home, my sisters and my brothers, I am challenging us that they should defend their faith. Okay, you now, if you meet maybe an atheist, can you defend your faith? Can you defend what you believe in? And then all of us will act as Jesus' advocates. I don't want to say devil's advocates. We will say, okay, ask questions that they can't think. Scientists, the science mind. You know, everyone must be able to have that. Because what we are teaching, we are not teaching mental assent. We are not just teaching words. We are not teaching what is abstract. You know, when he was talking about Jesus, we are teaching a person. Till the little one among us, they must learn to look to God. They must learn to know that God is their father. They must learn to know that they have an access. And even the ones in the womb, they must learn to respond to God. And that's why you see, when meeting or prayer is going on, children are running up and down. I say, parents, you sit down there. We're in church. Because they must begin to understand the culture of faith. The culture of order. Our children must learn those faith culture and ethics. Now, one thing we see in the faith culture in household is say prayer life. Say prayer life.
Prayer.
A defining mark of faith in any spiritual family is prayer. Say prayer.
Prayer.
Prayer is communion with God, though. It's not only for requests. You know, it must come to a place of personal altar. Say personal altar.
Personal.
Devotion. You know, every family, we must check. If you're in a household, you have every right to ask that, my brother and my sister, have you done your personal devotion this morning? Because the way you are doing, it's obvious that you have not spent time with the Lord. The reason why we have orishirishin, because some people are not doing personal devotion. It's true. You know, one thing, our home, we must teach, you know, that place of prayer. Prayer, say prayer. Not just corporate, or even individual prayer. You wonder why you some people come to church, they can't open their mouth and pray. They've not been praying at all. If we have prayed very well, when we come to church, with this place will catch fire. They won't need to wind us. Why not? They will wind us because we are not coming from homes that prayer has been offered. We are coming from a place of dryness. Dryness. So every new member of the family, you know, whether child must be intentional to integrate in this kingdom culture. We should ask our children, have you had your devotion this morning? Have you prayed? Have you read your Bible? What did you read this morning? Where's your notes? I think one of the guidelines, there's a place teaching children to have their personal devotion. What did you read? You know, that place of corporate prayer is very, very important. Say very, very important. Very, 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 very important. Paul came to Philip's house. How did he know that he had four daughters that prophesied? Is it not because they were having family devotion? If you are walking on the street of Lagos, they write prophesy that she can prophesy. It was in a place of family devotion that, you know, they know that this one, no, they prophesy. So they prophesy. So we knew that. We saw that very, very, very clear. I also wanted to say the place of praying together. Luke 19. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So God expects our house to be called what? House of prayer. We should have a household that we can draw prayer points with. You don't understand? Maybe one household should own this land issue that we are having. Okay, you see this household? We pray this thing into manifestation. We should have household that can address issues when we have used prayer well. Matthew 18, 9 says, whatsoever two or three, if you read it in Amplified, he said, where two or three agree. You see, this thing is actually, it's actually a provision. Jesus is the one speaking. Many of us don't use it in our marriage. We don't use it in our homes. Jesus said, I say to you, that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of what? One mind and in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God. He said, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Let me ask you, how many of us use it, even as husband and wives? When was the last time you held hands as husband and wife to say, on this matter, we want to agree? Husband and wife, you should know that as your result. But if me and my husband, we hold hands on your matter. Because we are not even brethren that are teaching to love one another. Are you understanding? The power of being of one mind. There's power. So we must learn to use it. Then the place of also communion. In Acts 2:42 talks about them being together and praying. So one thing we also see in faith expression is communion. There's communion and relationship, and each family must dedicate time for fellowship, exhortation, discussion. And it should go beyond, you know, general gathering, but to daily interaction with parents, children. So one thing that when you say we are of faith.
We are of faith.
You know, as a born again, as a believer, your demonstration of faith is your coming to church. You're wanting to be among. So in the same thing at home, you're wanting to commune, to have relationship. And relationship is not only family gathering. You know, there's some people that live in household. The only time we see them is family gathering. We never see them come to interact and gist with people. They're always in the room. Always in the room. That's why you can be in a home and you are still alone. Always in the room. You see, those things, it doesn't show faith. You must interact. Or you are an uncle or an auntie. You don't interact with the little ones in your home. You are just in your world. You feel, I'm a kekere. You'll be amazed that you are supposed to study them to enter kingdom. You know why you should like having children around you? Study. They are a case study. Because Jesus says, unless you be converted as these little ones. You know? So, you know, you cannot just be uncle. You know, there's some uncle, they are just uncooling like that. You have never related with the little ones around you. You don't even know how to be a child. Oh, you know, get out of here. What's this? That one is a very bad thing, though. Can our children have pleasant memories of you? Ah, that this uncle and auntie, there's a way, you know, they can talk to you. Can they talk to you? Are they safe with you? No aunties that, you know, the child is safe. When you say, Auntie Kini will stay with you, the child is on the edge because he knows that way. Ah! Voila. So we must have interaction as siblings, younger children. Then we must have rich communion. You know, communion with one another. Communion with the Lord. If we say we have faith, our faith must make sure that we have deep communion, connection, even within the family. Another core thing is obedience. Obedience in the home. One thing that your faith teaches us is obedience. You can't talk about faith and you leave obedience out of it. Because obedience in the home is an extension of obedience to God. And a central expression of what? Faith. People in the home must be taught to obey. We must teach children to obey. Instruction. Everybody must obey because the adult themselves must obey. Now, one thing we must know is that obedience is the gateway to life and peace. Instructions from the Spirit regarding other family members must be followed promptly. We must ensure that we follow instruction so that we can preserve spiritual order. And obedience starts from the acts. You know, daily instructions, chores, discipline. Romans 1, 5-6. By whom we have received grace and opposed for obedience to what? To the faith among all nations of. So you can't talk about faith without obedience. I want to hammer that. Now, parents, the reason we emphasize teaching our children obedience is not only because they must obey you so that their life will be better. They must obey you so that they can obey God. A child who struggles with obeying authority sets, we struggle with obeying God. In the same way, when you struggle with obeying instructions, when they say in this home, this is the later instruction, you struggle with it. My sister and my brother, check them. You are not obeying God somewhere. So we must learn that there's an important, you know, thing when it comes to obeying God. And I want to say that parents must also demonstrate the discipline and sacredness of instruction by their own obedience in church. So as elders, as parents, you cannot command obedience when you are not obeying. They can't give an instruction on this altar. Then when you get to your house, you say, Pastor has said his own, no. Or the leaders has their own in this house. You understand? Or maybe, you know, they say, okay, we are fasting. They say, the church is fasting and your own house. In your own house, you are feasting. and you want to teach obedience. The child, when they gave that instruction, his ear was not deaf. So he's watching you. You are teaching him to disobey God. You are teaching him that it's okay to disobey authorities. So I want to say that it's very, very, very important. And they must know that homes should be a place where words and instruction retain their value and weight. When we speak words here in this home, it has weight. It has value. Our home must not be a place where there's looseness when it comes to obedience. Jesus learned obedience with the things he suffered. Do you know that? And children, obey your what? Parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and your mother. So that what? Your days may be long and it may be well with you. There are people that by disobeying authority, they've died. A lot of young people, I'm telling you, growing up, we had them. Don't go for this party. They went and they died. I was a teenager. He was a cousin. The mother said, don't go for this party. It was a school party. And he carried the car. They sneaked out of the house around 12 a.m. There were four of them in that car. And they went to the party. On their way back, of course, they were high. They went and they all died. That day, as a teenager, my spirit just shouted, Ephesians 6:1. Children, though that your days may be long. A lot of people are dying because of lack of obedience. Obedience is safety. It was safety. See Lot's children, don't look back. And the Lord places a lot of opportunities in the household. I'm telling you, some safety measure. Don't leave the house before 6 o'clock. You open the door, they are still sleeping. Kurukera, you go, you enter one chance. That the only auction you not here. I'm just trying to say that different packets, you might think it's mundane, but it's a big deal. So our home should be a place of example of a believer where faith is honored within what? The household. Where faith is honored within the household, they will struggle to be credible in the society. So we must understand that in our homes, we must model a life. Say model a life. You can't have an household that your neighbors cannot have good testimony of you. In this house, they are always fighting. In this house, what kind of a home is that? Then you are not modeling an example of a believer. Or it is you that will not pay the cleaning woman's money or the security money, street money. That's not a good model. We must model it. Let's say model a life. Even I tell some of us, you know, those of us that we live in the house and we want to be blasting, and when we are praying, we open window down. Because you are praying, people cannot sleep. That's not being a model. You are disturbing your neighbors. That your prayer is safe. You will not ascend. Yes, when we are praying, brethren, we must know how to pray. Not that you are praying like, if you want to pray like that, you go to the mountain or you go to one forest. We can't be in a household that you are not mindful of your neighbors. Meanwhile, when you are in church, tell you to pray, you will not open the mouth. But in a place where there's confinement of space, you know, the reason why you want to shout is because you like hearing yourself. Yeah, shout all you can. We don't hear your voice. They'll be telling us, I cannot hear you praying. I cannot hear you praying in church. But at home, they can hear you. So I'm just trying to say that your vocal cords can be contained. So be very mindful. You can pray. It's not how you shout. When you're in a home, please, let's be mindful. Especially our early morning prayer people. Please. Example of Christian living. Every household must share the responsibility of a faith-filled life. Individual's life that constitutes the household must be marked by powerful words and action in the home. So I want us to read 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou what? An example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. God's people, can we do a test? What do you think your neighbors think of you? Maybe if we go and interview your neighbors, what would they say? What would they say of you? Are you unfriendly? Even the evangelism. Your life can be an evangelism where people will see the way you conduct yourself and they can come to Jesus. Because ask yourself, what do they think? The people around you, what do they think about you? What do your landlord think of you? Are you a tenant that is always owing money? You'll be surprised that owing money is tied to your faith. Because there are people that actually have the money. That thing is worked. They have a mindset to do what? To frustrate their landlord. May God come to us in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.